So I got up there and like, king, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Troy Brewer, we are happy to have him here with us today. Pastor Brewer, how can you add to this conversation? I said, pornography is the reason why we are here today.
Come on, Troy.
And I said, if it wasn't for pornography and it wasn't for this, and I just went through all of this, is if you're watching pornography, you're watching a crime scene. If you're watching, because I promise you, over 90% of what has been uploaded there, and recently it's been proved by this go-getter that has gone after this, over 90%, they literally took down 90% of their content in one day because they knew it was non-consensual.
Boom. Well, that is a clip, my friends, from The Counter, Episode 6, which premiered last night, all about human trafficking, Baal worship, heavy stuff that needs to be talked about. And Pastor Troy and all the guys on The Counter, well, they're not afraid to talk about it, and we are so thankful for that. Welcome, friends. Welcome to another episode of The Pulse that looks a little bit different because we are still snowed in. I know I'm wearing the same thing as I was yesterday, but I promise you, this is Wednesday's edition of The Pulse. We've got all new stuff for you, all new updates. Snowed in Texas. Texas still, where are you guys watching from right now? Let us know where you're watching from, how the weather is, how you've been holding up. How's it going, guys? Are you staying warm? Do you still have power? Let us know. Our thoughts and prayers are with everyone who is without power and who just might be having a really hard time with this. I know we got a lot of friends all over the country that are without. So our hearts and prayers are with all of you. But welcome to another episode of The Pulse. Pastor Troy and Leanna have arrived in Africa. They have made it there. We are so excited to hear testimonies from their trip. They're going to be visiting a bunch of our homes there. That's why you guys are stuck with me today and not Pastor Troy. But you will have a word from him in just a moment. We're going to get to that in a second. But Pastor Troy and Leanna are going to be in Africa, in Uganda, and they've got so much stuff on the docket that they're going to be doing. I'm sure we'll be getting pictures and updates and videos. They're still kind of in the travel mode right now. So once they land and they have landed, but once they get settled and, you know, things start rocking and rolling, we'll get some pictures for you and we'll be sharing those across our social media and all the things. So please be in prayer for them as they literally left the New Beginnings Conference and went right to Africa. Literally the day the New Beginnings Conference ended, that Sunday after church, they hopped on a plane, which is also, it's also really a miracle they got out because we were in the middle of a snow and ice storm. So yeah, it's been a crazy time. But so The Counter last night, let me know, did you guys watch it? Did you guys catch it? If you did, let me know what you think. Put it in the comments right now. If you haven't seen it yet, I'm going to ask our moderators to put a link to it in the comments right now. So after The Pulse, you can go back and watch this episode because, man, show me another show that tackles the topic of human trafficking, how it relates to Baal worship and pornography. Yeah, they went there. They were not afraid to talk about, I mean, nothing was really off limits. And it's such an eye-opening episode. I remember when we filmed it feeling that way as we were editing it, I felt that way. I'm like, wow, people are going to be shocked about the things that get uncovered and talked about in this episode. And so if you missed it, I want to encourage you, go back and watch it. I also want to encourage you guys to share it. Share the episode, please, on your social medias. Be a media missionary in that way. Help us get the word out about the show. And also, you know, the 30 minutes of the show is on YouTube across our social medias. But in order to watch the full 1 hour episode, you have to be a member at odx.tv as a stage 3 member. So, or stage 2 or 3 member. So that's the only way you can have access to the full conversation. And this of all the episodes is one that you want to catch that full conversation. Just trust me, it's so intense. It's crazy. Literally the things that they talk about, I have never heard. I had no idea the connection between Baal worship of the early days, like what you would read about in the Bible, how that connects to human trafficking and how all of that is fueled by pornography. And it really is such an eye-opening thing. And Pastor Troy always says, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And that is so true of this episode. So please, if you missed it, go back and watch it. Be a media missionary. Share it. Because when you do, guys, when you're a media missionary, you help us rescue more kids. More kids like this one. This is Rodney that we were able to rescue last week during our New Beginnings Conference. Yes, we were in the middle of a conference, but our teams across the globe don't stop, guys. They don't stop. And we were able to rescue this little boy. We don't know his story yet, but I can't wait to learn more about him. Pastor Troy is going to be going to Mexico in a couple weeks. He's going to get to meet him in person because he is in one of our homes right now. So I'm just so excited. Praise the Lord for that, guys. And every single person who's a part of our ODX family, guys, you helped make that happen. And every single person who you donated during the New Beginnings conference. We raised over $400,000. You helped make rescues like this one happen. And man, I hope that we can get 999 more so we can rescue 1,000 kids this year. I mean, why not? Why not rescue more than that? And so every gift, every partnership, however you partner with us, guys, it matters so much. So speaking of our New Beginnings conference, I told you yesterday that we were able to present the city of Durango with a $100,000 check. And we have a picture of that. And that was such an incredible moment. But guys, we actually made the news in Durango, which is so incredible. Our teams there sent us this video. We actually have it. Of course, it's in Spanish. I know a lot of you watching understand Spanish and speak Spanish, but there's subtitles for those of you who don't. We're going to show this whole clip. It's about 5 minutes, but it is so cool. It's so cool to see other nations talking about the work that we do. And it's such an encouragement. And it really speaks to how we are training nations to rescue, how they're seeing the work that we do. And they're like, wow, this is incredible. So guys, take a look at this incredible testimony. This is from the news in Mexico about what we did, about what we presented, that check that we presented to the city of Durango. Watch this.
¿Quién es Troy Brewer? Muchachos, ¿saben quién es Troy Brewer? Yo ayer me puse a investigar quién es esta persona porque donó $100,000 a la casa hogar. $100,000. ¿Cuánto es en pesos, mi querido Parker? Yo sé que ahorita, es que ahorita el dólar anda bueno, baratón en comparación del pasado, ¿no? ¿Un millón qué? 700,000 pesos. Troy Brewer donó $1,700,000 a la Casa Hogar de Durango. Sí, ahí en donde se cuidan a los niños y a las niñas que son rescatados por el DIF estatal, por la Procuraduría, para que tengan un entorno seguro donde vivir, donde desarrollarse. Checando yo quién es Troy Brewer, es un fundador y pastor allá en Texas, de personas y estableciendo orfanatos para albergarlos y cuidarlos. Han rescatado niños de 37 países. Fíjate nada más este hombre y su esposa, ¿eh? Y su esposa Lena. Son gente de gran corazón y que tienen esa posibilidad de convocar, y van sobre niños. Oye, tenemos que proteger a nuestros niños. Supieron, saben de lo que está haciendo el DIF estatal Durango, y ante la tarea que se está haciendo en Durango dijeron, oye, ahí les van, yo colaboro. Qué chulada, ¿no? $100,000, pues gracias a Troy Brewer y a su esposa por este donativo tan importante.
Encabezan el gobernador Esteban Villegas Villarreal y Marisol Rosso Rivera, a través del DIF estatal, para cuidar y proteger a niñas, niños y adolescentes en la casa hogar, fue reconocido por el activista Troy Brewer durante un encuentro realizado en Estados Unidos. El reconocimiento destacó el compromiso social y humano que se impulsa desde Durango en favor de la infancia.
Now what's really cool, and again, the only government in the world that has ever done this for me, is the state government of Durango, Mexico, where they said, hey, you want to do this? We'll match this thing dollar for dollar with government money. So tonight we're going to make a donation to get the next part of this thing. We present to you a check for $100,000.
Por su parte, Selene Soto Rodríguez, magistrada presidenta del Tribunal de Disciplina Judicial, destacó que este tipo de proyectos reflejan una política pública con enfoque humano y de justicia social, que pone en el centro a las personas y busca proteger sus derechos a través del trabajo coordinado entre instituciones.
Gracias a todas y a todos ustedes. A las más de 200 niñas y niños.
To more than 200 girls and boys.
Rescatados en Durango.
That we rescue in Durango.
Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you.
Durango hace equipo.
In Durango, we team up.
Con el gobernador.
With the governor.
Esteban Villegas.
Esteban Villegas.
Y su esposa.
And his wife.
Marisol.
Marisol.
Con un proyecto grande.
With a big project.
Que se hace con todo el corazón.
That we're building with our hearts.
Y la justicia.
And the justice.
Está resguardada.
We're taking care of
por un equipo de mujeres y hombres.
With a team of women and men.
Que le devolvemos sus derechos a las niñas y a los niños.
That we keep and we gave back the rights of these girls and boys.
La justicia.
The justice.
Está garantizada.
It's a warranty in our state.
En Durango, México.
In Durango.
De igual forma, Ana Rosa Hernández, secretaria de Obras Públicas, agradeció la confianza de esta organización y señaló que su acompañamiento ha sido fundamental para fortalecer la infraestructura y los espacios de casa-hogar del DIF estatal, con el objetivo de brindar mejores condiciones y oportunidades a quienes ahí son atendidos.
Thank you for your compassion in Durango, for your support alongside Mrs. Marisol, and for your continued commitment in this wonderful project. Your donation helps us provide comprehensive care for boys and girls who are in protective shelter or in a migratory transit. Our goal is to ensure their safety and well-being while strengthening their skills they need to build an independent life and dignified life. Your commitment is making a real difference. Thank you for believing in Durango, for extending a hand through faith and compassion, for walking alongside us in these missions. We also recognize and honor the legacy that gave rise to your community, and we are grateful to see...
¡Qué gran donativo! $100,000 para Casa Hogar. ¡Wow!
How cool is that, guys? We are literally training nations to rescue, and those nations are talking about it on the news. They're broadcasting it. Man, that is just, if that's not speaking to the word that Pastor Troy has been talking about for 2026, is the year of expansion. This is the year of moving those tent pegs out further. And I love that. I mean, this is evidence of that. Nations are recognizing what we're doing. They're talking about it. They're getting the word out. And that means that more people are going to see what we're doing. More people are going to want to get involved. And that means more kids being rescued. So, wow, what a way to start the year, guys. And today, we're actually going to play one of Pastor Troy's messages from earlier this year. He started his new sermon series called 26. And it's unpacking the word that the Lord gave him for 2026. And he talks about the tent peg. He talks about how this is the year of bigger vision, bigger faith, bigger harvest. This is the year we stop shrinking back and start stretching forward. I love that. I've already seen that at work in my own life. And I'm claiming that for myself. I'm claiming it for myself. If you came to the New Beginnings conference, if you were a part of our redemption lunch, he actually handed out tent pegs that you could take in faith. And I love that. I love that physical aspect of taking that tent peg. God, I'm staking my claim in the sand, and we are expanding this year. And we're gonna play this word that Pastor Troy gave. It's already had over 8,000 views. It's resonated with a lot of people, guys. I hope you enjoy this, and then I'll be back just to recap it all at the end. So take a look at this.
Father, I pray, God, that you would release your scroll into this house. God, here we are in the year 2026. It's just incredible. So many things are going to happen this year. God, our nation turns 250 years old this year. This domino effect through the nations of revival, the entire revival of nations. God, I want to clearly hear you speak, and I pray, God, that all of us in here would clearly hear you speak. God, many of us are fasting, and I pray, God, that you'd help us, God, to focus. I pray, God, that you would lead me, sir, from thought to thought, and from word to word. And I love you, Lord. And I promise not to tell anybody to kiss my grits anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. I got in trouble with Leanna over that a while ago. She's like, that was not necessary. I'm like, I'm sorry. It's the zeal of the Lord, honey. Like, I'm sorry. So I got to warn you and tell you also that I am fasting. I know many people in this church are fasting right now. And we're desperate for the Lord. We're crying out to Jesus. And so I tend to not have a filter when I fast. And so So I have taken copious notes, and I'm going to try and stick with my notes today. And if you want to follow with me with my notes that I'm actually reading from, don't forget that if you can find my sermon on odx.tv, which is our channel, you can also find all of my sermon notes. So are you guys ready to do this? From the very beginning, whenever I first got saved, being 19 years old, and was a young man full of the Holy Ghost, excited about living life with Jesus, excited about doing crazy things for the Lord. I did part-time work for the 700 Club, and I was a phone counselor for them, and they called me the Barnstormer. They said, this is Barnstorming Brewer. That's what they called me. I said, man, there's not anywhere that brother will not go. There's not nothing he won't do. He's crazy. And just, I just was so excited about Jesus and the opportunity, man, to bring Jesus to anybody, anywhere. Well, as the year would roll over, I recognized that anytime that there is a time where everything changes, that that is a time when you need to come before the Lord and you need to cry out to him. And the very first year, I would be taking notes and I would start writing down phrases, and I went, man, these are prophetic words for the year to come. And I begin to learn how to really hear God speak in certain avenues, and also begin to seek the Lord prophetically. And like, Father, I come before you during this time. I know, God, that you say that if I need wisdom, I need to ask for it. And so, Lord, I come before you boldly with the grace, God, that you have afforded me. And I'm asking you, God, give me a word, give me a mind, give me a grace for the year to come. And then, God, make me as a well springing up, and cause me, Lord, to splash you all over everybody around me. And now, you know, 39 years later, here I am still doing that. I had a lot of friends who used to fast with me in those early days who are no longer living. They're in that great cloud of witnesses now. And I don't know why the Lord has let me live as long as he has, but I'm grateful for it. And so I don't want to slow down. I want to just keep going and keep seeking the Lord. Well, in the midst of this time of fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord, there are also some things that are extremely obvious to me. I mean, it's just like obvious, and that God is speaking a prophetic word from. And one, the most obvious one to me, is the number 26. And because we're entering into the year 2026, and we are now even in it, it's important that you understand that when God preaches a sermon and stamps the number 26 on it, you need to know what that sermon is always about. And so every Sunday in the month of January, I'm going to be walking you through a sermon series that's called 26, and it has to do with prophetic alignment and what this number actually preaches. So you guys ready for that? All right, guys, if you would, open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to look at the first 14 verses. 14 is a number that represents generational promises all throughout the Word of God. There are 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the carrying away of Babylon, and 14 generations from Babylon to Jesus. And you need to know that when God keeps his promises throughout the generations, throughout bloodlines, it's a number that is associated with legacy all the way through the Word of God. Everybody say 14. But let's start off at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to look at Moses. Moses is approaching 80 years old. And he's been out there in the middle of nowhere now for some 40 years. It's been 40 years since he grew up in Egypt. And he's been living this life for a long, long time. And it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, who was the priest of Midian. If I'm just telling you, this verse has so much in it. And I would love to unpack all of it, and I'm not going to be able to, but it goes on to say that he led the flock on the backside of the desert, and then he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. You need to understand that he lived in a land where there was another God, and he lived in a house that worshiped and served another God, and he didn't have any problem with that because he had grown up in Pharaoh's house, and he still knew the Lord. He knew him as El Shaddai. He knew him as Jehovah. But he didn't know him the way he's fixing to know him. And then it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, that bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, guys, when the Word of God says that the angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, that word bush there literally means a terrible thorn bush. So he sees this fire. He's like, dude, there's a fire over there. And then he sees it. And then he looks again and goes, that thing's still burning. And then that thing's still burning. And that thing is still burning. And that thing is still burning. And then in verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. This is what God is waiting on for every single one of us. It's like, when will you finally say, I will now turn aside because this thing is in my face. I can no longer ignore it. I can no longer deny it. This thing is real. I have to turn aside now. It reminds me of that incredible scripture in the Word of God in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, where John says, and I heard a voice behind me. And then he said, and I turned to see the voice. This thing that has to happen with every single one of us, where you say, okay, I have to get out of my regular program and get with a new program. I have to do that. That, my friend, is called repentance. Repentance is not the pious act of going to church. And it's not even, you know, we can think of so many different things that people think that repentance is. But let me tell you what repentance means. It literally means to get off of one track and get onto another one. And this is the place where Moses says, I don't even know what's going to happen when I go there. I just got to where I don't care anymore. I've been living on the backside of the desert for so long in a house that doesn't worship the Lord. I know I heard God's voice. I know that God told me something amazing, and it messed everything up whenever I acted on it. And now I just don't want to get into trouble. Moses has lived a life for 40 years just trying to not get into trouble. I don't know about you, but I've been through periods of my life like that where I was just like, I just need to lay low because I don't want to screw anything up. That's not the place of a visionary. That's not the place of destiny. That is not the place of bravery. It's not the place of faith. It's a place of identity where you say, all I'm really good for is messing things up. So just keep me on the back side of things. We would call that the back burner. But now God's going to turn up the flame. And in verse 4, it says, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see. Do you see that? Do you see that? God Almighty will respond to how you repent and say, okay, this is the new program and I'm getting into this. You whispered this to me. I saw this, and now it's become something I think about all the time. I'm like, dang, that fire is still there. Why? It's just one thorn bush. Why is that thing still on fire? I got to go check this thing out. And when God saw that he was no longer willing to ignore it. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of that bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Anytime in the Bible that you see God calling somebody's name twice, it means everything is changing right now. Adam, Adam, where are you? Right? I love that. Abraham, Abraham, do not kill your son, Isaac. Martha, Martha, you worry about many things. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Anytime in the Word of God, God says your name twice, it means this: everything is changing. God said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said, draw not nigh hither. Now, I'm using the old King James, and I love what Pastor Greg Locke said. Like, why do you use King James? Because I'm already more than halfway around the track, and it's too late to change horses. I was like, I love that. I'll use that. I gave him credit the first time, but from now on, everybody will just think I'm a genius. Don't get off track, Troy. Don't get off track. And he says this, draw not nigh hither. He says, okay, you need to stop what you're doing. You can't come any further because you need to take off those shoes. Because the place where you're standing is holy ground. What does that mean? It means this. See, you got dirt on your feet and dirt on those shoes where you've walked that's not compatible with this place. It's like, I'm glad you came to me. Now I'm coming to you. And now we're going to talk about compatibility. You guys remember whenever Jesus said, hey, if you go into a place and they won't receive your peace, dust off the dust from your feet and just say, bye. Because you don't want the residue of that place going with you and tracking with you into the next place. One of the things that happens when you learn to live in the manifest presence of the Lord, you're careful about what you carry into that place. So much in that. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You need to understand, he had never seen God like this before, and he didn't know which God it was. He lives in a land of the Midianites, and there's so many gods. He comes from Pharaoh, where Pharaoh was said to be God, and you were not allowed to look at him. So he immediately falls into his training of, I'm not allowed to look at you. Now, believe me, he will change and he'll start looking and say, show me your glory, show me your glory, show me your glory. But that was completely foreign to him. He didn't understand the rules. He didn't understand the protocol. So God said, okay, well, let's get our introductions done. I'm the God of Abraham. Everybody say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah, you need to understand that when he says I'm the God of Abraham, which is, hey, the patriarch, the father of faith, I'm the God of Isaac, that is the promise, and Jacob, that's the mess up. He doesn't say I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Israel is the redeemed side of him, and Jacob is the one that just messes everything up, and God is not ashamed to be called his God. So what he's saying is this, I am the God of faith, I am the God of promise, and I am the God of all humanity. And he says, that's me. And then he says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. I want to stop. When it says, I know their sorrows, this is already evident in the midst of the burning, thorny bush. This thorny bush, thorns represents the pains of humanity. It represents affliction. When you see thorns in the Word of God, it shows up and it's like, I see your pain. I see it. And now is this passionate, burning flame of fire in the midst of a painful place. Jesus, as he carried the cross, he also wore a crown of saying, I understand how hard it is to be a human being, and I'm king over all of that. I'm here for you. I love you, and I understand you. I totally get you in every single way. I have seen your pain, and now I have allowed myself to become afflicted with your pain, but now I'm a fire in the midst of it. Wow. And then he says, and now I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large and a land flowing with milk and with honey and in the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the train wrecks and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Cellulites. Curse that devil in Jesus' name. Now, therefore, behold, The cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression where the Egyptians oppress him. He says, I'm showing up. Justice is coming, and heaven's coming with me. Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel. Now he doesn't say the children of Jacob. He says the children of Israel. The children of Israel out of Egypt. And now Moses has something to say. He said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? He's like, do you not know what a failure I am? And he said, certainly I will be with you. Everybody say, God will be with me. Say that. You're going to find out why here in a minute. This is going to be a token unto you that I've sent you. Whenever you've brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Come here. So in the midst of an unholy place, God's presence made a certain mountain holy. In the midst of an ungodly family, God's presence can make a family holy. You, by the way, are that one mountain in the midst of that dry and desolate place. And Moses said, behold, when I come into the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they're going to say to me, oh yeah, what's his name? He goes, I don't know what to tell them. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus you shall say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. I would encourage you guys to go through and read this. I would encourage you guys to do the studies. I would encourage you guys to, y'all just go and look this stuff up and see what King Jesus does in the midst of your prayer and fasting. Watch what he does. So God reveals his name to Moses as I am. And this comes from a Hebrew root word that means being. So do you remember whenever he said, Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. That was actually the right response. And God says, yes, and here I am. And it's the word Yahweh. It's the first time that we see the name Yahweh actually revealed. And before this, he was only known as El Shaddai, or he was known as Jehovah, but he was never known as Yahweh until this moment. And Yahweh derives from the Arabic term for extreme passion. It has to do with love. It has to do with desire. It has to do with commitment to love you and to be there for you no matter what. The Lord had not revealed himself like this yet, and he was waiting for a people that only knew Pharaoh and slavery to show up and go, now I'm going to show you an entirely different world. Even in the Genesis story, he doesn't reveal himself as love. He reveals himself as the creator, right? Now I'm going to go through that through the 7 days and actually talk to you about the importance of understanding of actually creating something different with God this year in those 7 steps. But here in this place, he says, listen, I am a burning fire of passion for you in the midst of the hurtful messes that you never imagined could ever be untangled. That's me. And then you say it like this, Yahweh. It's an understanding of the breath of life. It's Yahweh. Yahweh. I can breathe. I can breathe and I'm alive even in the midst of this painful turmoil on the backside of the desert. I used to live in a palace. I used to be going somewhere, and now I've been in the same place for 40 years. I live in a house that worships another God, and now this God has shown up as a flaming fire of passion to me. And he's here and he's telling me he loves me and he's telling me I have destiny. See, when Yahweh shows up, he reveals destiny. The reason why he gives you a different name is because your relationship has changed. And anytime God changes the depth of relationship, he reveals a new name to you, and then he also changes your name because he reveals a new you that you never knew. And this is what happens to Moses. And Moses basically means taken out. The one that was taken out of the river is the one that will now be taken out of insignificance and brought into the full impact of taking out the children of Israel from the horrors and the slavery of Egypt and developed into a land of promise that God Almighty has been waiting. Someday, I'm going to give this to you. All that happens at the name Yahweh. Now, I want to, if you look at the name Yahweh, and I just the YHWH, if we could just put just the YHWH up there. Isn't that a weirdo word? I mean, there's no vowels in it because they don't do vowels. And also, too, because the Jews are scared to write the name. They're scared to write it and they're also scared to say it. So even if they write the word God, they will just say G-D. Like, uh-uh. No, his name is holy and we don't want to mess with it. And Yahweh in Hebrew is the name above all the other names of God. And then Jesus is the name above all names. Jesus is perfect theology. You can find every attribute of God Almighty in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Yahweh, there he is. And it's Yah-Heh-Vod-Heh. Well, in the Hebrew language, one of the ways that you study the Word of God is you look at not just what the words are saying, but you also got to look at things like the context of how it's written, the who it's written to, the timing of when it was written, who wrote it. But another way that you look at it is understanding that the Hebrew language and the Greek language, which is what the Bible is written into, Hebrew, of course, being the Old Testament, Greek being the New Testament, but all of the letters are actually alphanumeric. In the Hebrew and to the Hebrews, they didn't have the symbol of one or the symbol of two or the symbol of three. They had the letter that we would translate as A would be one, B would be two, and C would be three. It wouldn't be until people got into the Western world that even the Romans, they use letters for numbers, right? Roman numerals. Or as Rayma used to say, Rayman noodles. She's sitting there on the front row. She's a little girl, and I was teaching her about Roman numerals, and she was learning. And we went by the bank, and it had a clock, and it's in Roman numerals. And she said, "Look, Dad, it's Rayman noodles." I said, "Why, dang sure is." So they even use letters, and I, of course, being one, right? You know all those. Okay, so whenever we got into the Western world, we no longer used alphanumerics. We actually used numerals, symbols that represented a certain count. It represented a certain value of a number. And so we actually did it by angles. You know, a zero has no angles in it, so it's zero. A one has one angle in it. Two has two angles in it. Three has three angles. Four has four angles. It goes all the way up and it keeps on going. And so to the ancient Hebrews, if they had any kind of math or any kind of numeric situation where they're actually, if they're numbering something, if they're weighing something, if they're measuring something, they put down letters. And sometimes those letters are a word. But every time a word is a number. And the Bible is written like that. So if you were going to look at the name Yahweh, not only are you looking at a name that has a phonic sound, words that have phonic sound, not only are you looking at a prophetic picture that goes with every single one of the letters, but you're also looking at the number 26. Yahweh is 26. The Yah is a 5. The He is a 6. The Yah is a 5. And the He is a 10. And that equals 26. 26 is when God shows up and changes everything for you. 26 is when God shows up in your painful places and shows you how much He loves you. And it blows your mind. And He says, the way you used to walk is not going to work here. So leave those shoes over there and step over here on your bare feet, and I will shod your feet in a different way. I am taking you out of insignificance, and I'm bringing you into a place of incredible impact. And I am revealing myself to you, and I am going to reveal the you that you never knew. And all of that is Yahweh, and all of that is 26. Welcome to 2026, y'all. Welcome. I love this so much. You guys know that I'm a nut, because it's not about how you pronounce the name Yahweh. It's about the active involvement of God. It's when God, okay, look, God is everywhere all the time, but God is not manifest everywhere all the time. You guys understand the difference? I mean, we know that God is here, we know that God is there, but man, there are some ways that God moves where His weighty presence can be felt. And you're like, whoa, the Spirit of the Lord is with me, and it becomes evident. It becomes evident in the active involvement of the God of heaven showing up in the midst of your thorns, in the midst of your worldly conditions, in the midst of trying to pay the bills, in the midst of the complications of relationships, in the midst of the mess. And there He is. Boom. I'm here. Or as He said, I am that I am. It's like, I am that I am. So isn't that amazing? We translate the word Yahweh into English as I am that I am. And isn't that what Popeye said? I'm sorry. Quit it. Stop it. I got all this stuff in my head. I just got to calm down. Yeah, I am that I am. What does that mean? It means this. I have shown up, and I am being in the midst of this thing. And it also has to do with past, present, and future. It's like, what you're going to find out is I've always actually been here. It's just, I'm just now becoming manifest. I'm the God that was, I am the God that is, and I'm the God that will be in the midst of your thorns, Moses. And since I'm that to you, you're going to be that to Israel. And you're going to show up in the midst of their bondage and in the midst of their thorns. And you are going to show them me, Yahweh. And you're going to speak with an authority, and you're going to tell that Nephilim king, Ramses, you're going to tell him, you will let my people go. I am here in His name. I'm here in His authority. Yes, you got sorceries. Yes, you got magic. Yes, you're the most powerful world power in the world. And I'm a goat herder, and I got a father-in-law named Jethro. It's like he's from Arkansas. Walks around barefoot. And you will listen to me, because I'm not hearing my name. I'm here in His name. So you need to understand, Moses comes in the name of the Lord. He doesn't come in his own name. Now, when you come as an ambassador, and when you come in the name of the Lord, there's a word that goes with that, and it's called the weight of God. Not the W-A-I-T of God, but the weight I'm working on it, of God. And like, what is that? It's when you come in the name of the Lord. And whenever the word for that is kavod in the Hebrew is kavod. And I want to just say this, it's 26. That word is also the number 26. So Yahweh is 26. When God shows up and says, I'm here to change everything, and now I'm sending you into the promise with great power. And then you carry that word, you carry that mantle, you carry that authority, and you say, I'm not playing anymore. The carrying of that is also 26. Did I tell y'all that Moses was 26 generations from Adam. See, he shows up in these 26s. And he says, I'm changing things. And I'm blessing you and I'm raising you up because you are to be a blessing and you are to set other people free. All the prosperity that God has for you in 26 is good for you, but it's better for everybody else. Because you're a kingdom person. And you will not take or carry the name of the Lord your God in vain in 2026. Amen. God is going to send you into places. He's going to do things within your life. He's going to equip you. He's going to give you a word. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to reveal you. And then he's going to say, sick them. And that will not be worthless to God. Because you will carry his weighty presence with you in the year 2026. Because he shows up in the 26 to show you the 26 and to carry the 26. And it's his heart. It's his will. It's the covenant of passionate love. It's exclusive love. It's devotion. It's God saying, I'm not playing. I'm serious about this. And it's first revealed through the name Yahweh. And later, it is revealed in the name David. And David is the word beloved. So, from Moses to David is 26 generations. In 26 generations, after he revealed his name as Yahweh, he shows up to a shepherd boy in a field, in the same place where Jesus would be born 1,000 years later. And he shows up there, and this kid, who is the eighth son, who is by himself, has a visitation from the Lord that is so mighty. He's like, you know what, me and you are going to love each other, and it's going to be crazy cool, and I'm going to bring you a couple of lions, and I'm going to anoint you to kill them. That's going to be some fun watching. I'm also going to bring you a bear or two. And then, dude, I'm going to bring you a giant, and you're going to walk out there and have the stones to take him on. It's in the Bible. And he's like, this is going to be awesome. And so he names him Beloved of God. Beloved. And it means this. Okay, the way I showed up to Moses, I'm going to be in you and on you and anoint you with that. It won't be just, okay, you're seeing me be passionate in a bush. Now you're going to see me being passionate. My anointing for you as a king is to be fiery and passionate. And oh, he was. Fiery and passionate. A warrior king that was literally the personification of Yahweh in the burning bush. He shows up in the promised land. And he's not playing. Oh, man, he's so full of the Lord. He's so in love with Jesus, which is 1,000 years later. 1,000 years later. So I'm going to go through some things here. And the next thing that you guys have is not on my thing at all. So I'm just going to go through this according to the way I have it here. And I'm going to wrap this up so that you come to a conclusion. It's this. I'm going to go all the way back to Adam and Eve and tell you that when you take the name Adam and you take that name Eve together and you put them together, Eve was taken from Adam, and this is how the Hebrews do it. So it's actually the 45 minus 19 equals 26. So passionate and fiery, exclusive love and devotion from God towards each other. You guys understanding the picture of that, right? And God's like, I'll teach you how to love each other. You watch how I love you, and that's how you love each other. Okay, then from Adam to Moses, there are exactly 26 generations recorded from Adam to Moses. And, of course, he receives the Torah, and he communes with God in a way like what nobody else does. He has this exclusive walk with God that's crazy. And then God reveals his name to Moses as Yahweh. And Yahweh means 26. So from Adam and Eve, you have 26. Then you go 26 generations, and then you have Moses. And then when Moses, you have Yahweh show up, 26. And he says, and you will carry this anointing, and to carry is the number 26. And then 26 years later, 26 generations later, you have David, and David means beloved, anointed with God's fiery passion to be a king. And I want to tell you guys, 2026 is a year of kings rising up. It is. It's going to be a huge part of my conference. Man, it's one thing, man, to be a prophet. And it's another thing, man, to be a priest. But it's a whole another mamba jamba to be a king. And God, you're going to see the Lord made manifest in your life this year. There's a, listen, everybody say, I'm a king and I'm anointed for this. See, that's God's plan. That wasn't your idea. That's his idea. And everybody wants the money of a king. But it's a whole lot better if you get the wisdom of the king. With the rising up of kings this year comes the spirit of wisdom. That's another huge prophetic word that I will be preaching on later. The spirit of wisdom is for you this year. The spirit of wisdom. I love the book of Proverbs. I'm actually about to start a new podcast where I go through a different chapter of Proverbs every week. And it's good that there is wisdom that is found in that book, because it is the book of wisdom. But within the book is the spirit of wisdom. And that's what you're after. Amen. Prophets, man, everybody wants a prophetic word, but they don't like the prophet. They don't like his style. But they're happy to get a prophetic word. Priests, man, everybody loves to be ministered to, but they will not be consecrated the way that the priest is consecrated. Kings, man, everybody wants the favor and the money of the king. But will they sit at his feet, and will they grab a hold of the wisdom of the king? Yeah, all of that I just told you is 2026. Now, we know that David means beloved. Means he's anointed with God's fiery passion to be king. Now, in God's book of passion, which is Song of Solomon, David is mentioned 26 times in the book of passion. So his entire kingship is about the passionate heart of God. And when the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart, it means this. It's always reciprocal. If God loves on him, he loves him right back. He's like, there's always a bounce back when I show him my heart. Let there be a bounce back as God shows you his heart this year. Amen. And be a man after his own heart. And like, I want some more of that. Amen. David wrote in Psalms 136, for his mercy endureth forever. And he wrote that 26 times. And then you go 26 generations later from King David to Jesus Christ, who was anointed as king over all the earth. And it was his throne is King David's throne. Are you starting to see it all? It begins with Yahweh, and then it goes through David, and then it goes to Jesus. And it's like, you have to understand that this is my heart and this is my passion and that I'm not playing. I am madly in love. I am full of so much zeal and passion. And Jesus Christ was anointed on that. Okay, where was Jesus? I want you guys to answer this question. Help me out here. When did the Spirit of the Lord fall upon him like a dove? When he got baptized. The word baptism is in the Bible 26 times. I don't know, Edith, it's like there's a pattern here. 26 times. Like, the Lord wants to baptize or anoint you. That's what the name Christ means, is anointed one. In a way that gives you the power to walk in the promises of God, because he showed up and he's revealed his heart to you in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your bondage, in the midst of your affliction. And you say, this has to be reciprocal. I've got to carry this thing forward. I got to set other people free. Well, Jesus is anointed at his baptism, where he receives the Holy Spirit of God upon him to be the king that represents God's passionate love for his people. And then what did God say to him? This is my what, son? Oh, there's that 26 again, David. At the anointing, he said, this is my David son. And I'm so happy with him. So whenever we talk about Yahweh, Yah is the short for Yahweh. And it's where we get the word hallelujah. Hallelujah shows up 26 times. Paul says that we love God because he first loved us in 1 John 4:19. And this is our response to him. So if I'm going to close all this up, don't forget, guys, also too, that when God shows up as Yahweh in Hebrew, I am that I am in English, it's to bring defining and clear definition. And like, I'm removing all the mess, and I'm going to make this thing definitive for you. And then you carry that with you, which is weight, which is kavod. And that is also the number 26. You carry the weighty presence of the Lord. This is a year, guys, that we will carry the presence of the Lord for his glory. This is a year of that. One last thing. Out of the 31,171 verses in a King James Bible, out of all those verses, there's a lot. There's only one verse that all the letters in the verse equal 2026. If you start off with the first word and count the first letter and what is the numerical value, and you go through the entire verse, there's only one verse out of 31,171 verses in the Bible that equal 2026. And it's Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That is 2026, my friends. And dude, I want you to look at where it goes. He says this, who for your sake, you were the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He experienced the shame and he overcame it. That's what it means to despise. You know that, like, you do this in spite of that. When you despise something, it means this. This was what was handed to me, and it was filthy and it was horrible, but I stepped into holiness in spite of that. I despised it. I despised it. It was this level, and I put it down underneath my feet. He despised the shame. And then it says, and now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So looking unto Jesus puts you into a kingly place. And that is 2026. I'm done. Come on. So I'll stand up. Let's all make a confession before the Lord. Are you ready? Say, Father God, in 2026, I want to see you fully revealed in the midst of all of my thorns. Father, in 2026, I want to carry your weighty presence like never before. Father, in 2026, I want to be after your heart. And for every place that you show me your heart, let that fire burn within me. I love you, Lord. I will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, let's give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. My goodness.
Wow, what a way to start off the year. In 2026, I want to be after your heart, Lord. Let that be the cry of our hearts this year, to be after his heart. God, what is your heart for me this year? What is your heart for my family this year? I want to be after that. Not my will, but your will be done. Wow. Such a good word. Such a good word. I love seeing your comments all throughout that, guys. And just continue to comment, to share your testimonies. We love hearing your testimonies. And we always try to carve out some time if we see those to mention those and to rejoice with you. And as always, guys, we have a 24/7 prayer line. If you need prayer, if something ministered to you through that word and you want prayer about it, you want someone to stand with you in prayer, call 877-413-0888. That is our 24/7 line, guys. We have someone there waiting to pray with you, believe with you. Maybe you want more information about Troy Brewer Ministries, about what we do here, which, I mean, what we do is many, many things all across the globe, but we do all the media, we do all this so we can rescue kids every single day, and we do that and have been doing that for over 30 years, guys. So go to troybrewer.com if you want any more information, or again, you can call the number on your screen. Until next time, we call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord.